Welcome to High Fives with Eric and Blake. I am Eric.
And I'm Blake.
And this week we've got the best hate songs as our high fives. So sit back, relax, and get ready to get high five. We're giving high fives to all the guys. High fives to all the guys. High fives to all the guys. Just work out your girlfriend, even your sister.
Drank this whole beer already. I'm a drunk.
You're a drunk, or you are drunk.
I'm not drunk yet. It's not even one beer. I'm like Elliot on Scrubs when she thought she had magic breasts. Because she's like, I have magic breasts, and then put her head down, and they're like, how many has she had? And they say, almost one. Because I have had almost one.
Why are you drinking? Is there some sort of memory you're trying to forget, or is there some sort of stress that you're trying to get rid of?
No, I'm bored, so I'm getting drunk.
That's a good enough reason.
Nah, that's not even true. I don't know. I like to have a beverage at the table right next to me when I podcast. And this is like the only thing in the fridge besides almond milk and water. So
screw those two drinks.
Well, almond milk's pretty good, but I never really had it by itself before. It's usually in cereal, and it makes it magical, let me tell you.
No, I'm not going to let you tell me. Tell me about what's been going on since the last podcast.
Well, again, like the last 2 weeks, I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 4, and I know I said this last week, that I was getting closer to the end, and that remains true. I am on course. I can see the ending in front of me. It's just a matter of getting there, because I have all of the extra stuff done, like I said before. So I'm just finishing that up. Aside from that, I was talking to Andy Socek today, and he's in a very similar boat as I am. Whereas we have a lot of video games in our backlog, like at least 40 to 50. It's a lot of friggin' games, man. More than anyone should have.
Sitting around waiting to be
sitting
finished.
Around, yeah, waiting to be played. It takes a special breed of person to have 50 unplayed games, yet still feel that they need to buy more games.
Unplayed?
You've never unplayed. There are some that I haven't started yet.
If you had 50 unplayed games, that would be ridiculous. 50 unfinished games, that might not be as ridiculous.
All right, maybe unplayed is stretching it a bit, but I know Battlefield Bad Company 2 is a game I've never even had in the 360 yet.
Yeah, that's a waste of money is what that is.
I probably got it on sale, though. I don't
so
buy
it's
a
waste
of
less money, but it's still a waste of money.
Yeah. Hey, you take pride in your video game collection like I do. Nothing's a waste of money.
Really? You've got the game collection where you're just going, you're collecting these games? It's a collection?
Oh, no.
Do you display them?
I have collected them, sure, but I don't get them just to show them off. Well, that's not necessarily true. I got WCW Revenge and WWF No Mercy for the N64 because I thought they'd be neat to have around. I saw them in a used game store in their box with all the manuals and all the stuff that went in it. So I was like, damn, let's get that.
Yeah, those are good. Well, those are like classic games to us, to the small group of people that those games were really important too.
So we have all these games. I am working on making a list of them, and then I'm going to try and get to as many as I can. Because with the new systems launching late last year, there's just going to be more and more games coming out, and I want to try and finish up as much of last generation as I can before the big titles start releasing. Which is bound to be soon. Luckily, There is a big gap between when systems come out and when the good games start being released. I
It's
think
true.
the first high-profile game for the Xbox One, Titanfall, doesn't come out until spring. And even then, I'm awful at multiplayer first-person shooters, so I really don't know if that's something I need to spend money on anyway, because I'll probably just get my ass kicked.
But you'll probably get it anyway.
I probably will get it anyway. And as far as the PlayStation 4 is concerned, Infamous Second Son comes out, and that was one of the big reasons I wanted PlayStation 4 to begin with, so I might hit that up when it comes out too.
Well, it's good to have a plan, I guess.
Yeah, I think my head's in the right place.
Well, your head is in a place, all right.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, come on, that was a good one.
It was okay. And last little thing for me, I think last week I mentioned how I was starting to work towards applying for an internship. That's still the plan, though I still haven't written anything. I should probably do that super soon. Like within the next couple of days, I need to at least start. Tomorrow's sort of a date day with the fiance, so I don't know if it'll happen then. If it does, it'll be late at night.
You should do it tonight. You shouldn't wait. Don't wait,
I
man.
Can't,
That's your problem.
I can't do it tonight. I'm doing this, and then I got another show to do after that.
And then what are you doing?
Probably going to bed. It's going to be late.
Yeah, you should be writing after that.
Instead of sleeping.
Yeah.
That's dumb. What's it like to be dumb?
I don't know. I got a good job.
Oh, God, I hate you right now. Why I even agree to do this? Okay, so anyway, enough about me. What have you been up to?
I have been stressed out because the movie that I'm working on, the location...
Matchmaker.
It's the location that I wanted. Sounds like it's not going to happen. People have been dropping out. I need to find a new director of photography, a new gaffer. I need to find a couple of people to fill out some other spots. So that's been a nightmare.
Your actors still game?
The actors, we haven't even talked about yet. We've got auditions a week from Saturday. So I'll be doing them then. So it's just been losing more and more people. It's not going to be a really difficult shoot. So I don't feel like we need all the people that we're missing, but there are definitely a few spots that we are going to need something. So,
this is something like completely written by you, directed by you. It's like, yep. This is your thing, right?
Yes. So, yeah, I'm writing and directing it. Some friends are producing it. Then I've got like a group of people that are going to be doing other jobs with it, and yeah. And then other than that, just got in the mail today a pack and play from my sister for the baby, so I've got to put that together, which shouldn't be too tough. But everything's always more complicated when it's baby stuff because you got to have protective coverings on everything. Then. I've been starting classes on how to take care of a kid and a birthing class where we talk about what's going to happen in the birth. And the people in my class are the dumbest people. Like, so dumb. I can't even describe it.
You should try.
There's a guy... Okay. There's a little... illustration, not an illustration, but a demonstration that the teacher was giving us where she's trying to explain what happens to the woman's womb and how her body changes during the contractions. And the illustration is you take a balloon and you blow it up and there's a ping pong ball inside. And then when you start letting the air out, the ping pong ball gets trapped in the opening. And then you squeeze the balloon on the sides and nothing really happens. But if you squeeze on the sides and on the top, then the ping pong ball shoots out the opening of the balloon. That's what's supposed to happen. She hands out three balloons to the three couples that are in the class. And this one guy cannot get his balloon blown up for the life of him. And you would think that maybe the teacher would be like, well, just watch me and you'll get the idea. No, she wants him to blow up this balloon. And so we sit there watching this guy trying to blow up a balloon. And I kind of feel for the guy because when you have a situation where you just can't seem to do the thing that everybody wants you to do, it's really frustrating.
Especially when people are watching and waiting for you to do it.
Especially when it's something silly like blowing up a balloon. Like, everybody's done that. But so he finally gets it blown up, and then he can't get the ping pong ball to catch in the little opening. And so we wait for him to do that. And again, it's just irritating. And then it finally gets to the point where they can squeeze it, and it finally pops out, and it's like, so yeah, that's what it looks like. And it's like, that's it? That's the whole thing? You just wanted us to see this? But yeah, I was sitting there, and throughout most of the class, I was just thinking, like, why are you having a kid? I mean, obviously, it's because they were dumb in the first place and didn't use protection, but what makes them think that they're, like, capable of taking care of a child?
Well, how old did they look? Were they about your age? Did they seem younger?
They were younger. They were maybe 20.
Oof.
I mean, and it's good that they're in the class because they'll need everything they can. When we first went into the class, she asked each couple what we were there to learn, and the girl's response was, I'm here to learn labor. Not like what's going to happen during, just, I want to learn labor. So that immediately put a kind of weird mood in my head. And I think we're going to be the teacher's pet in that class. Let's just say that.
In my head, I imagine that guy wearing a crooked hat.
I don't think he would wear a crooked hat. I would see him wearing, like, not a trucker hat, but like a sort of similar mesh hat.
Okay.
Not in a douchebaggy way, in a white trashy way.
Yeah, so did he have sort of like a, was he clean shaven, or did he have like a scruffy beard, like he hadn't shaved in a few days?
Scruffy beard, like he hadn't shaved. Not a good beard by any stretch.
Yeah.
Not a Blake beard.
Just like every day he wakes up, he's like, I don't think I need to shave today.
Well, that's kind of how I am, so I don't really appreciate that, Blake. I shave once on Monday morning, and I'm good till next Monday.
Yeah, I would address that as soon as possible.
Well, I've got the one thing of facial hair. I don't see why I gotta have more.
You don't need to have more. That's why you should shave it.
That's...
I was buying shaving gel today, and one of my coworkers, Grace. You know Grace.
I know Grace. We used to be Facebook friends until I insulted her religion.
Yeah, people get uptight about that. Anyway, she was like stocking shelves in the shave aisle, and I come in there, and she's like, oh, am I in your way? Like, oh, I'm just looking at the prices for the shave gel. She goes, oh, you don't look like you really need that, referring to how I have a beard. I'm like, well, I got to shave my neck, Grace. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember when she was telling me once how fat her husband had gotten. She's like, yeah, he put on a lot of weight. He got up to over 200 pounds.
What?
And I was like, Grace, you know I weigh like 215, right? And she's like, what? No, you don't look like you.
Yeah, my husband's just this fat pig. He grosses me out. You're fine, though, but this fat motherfucker over here needs to get on a treadmill. Don't worry, you look great. I'm not trying to say you need to drop a few pounds, but this asshole needs to put down the Oreos.
This fat piece of shit weighs 15 pounds less than you. I'm not saying you look fat, but this guy's really fat and he still doesn't weigh as much as you.
Grace, that's only okay if he is 2 feet shorter than me.
And even then, I'm still going to be hurt.
All right. How's, besides the class, how are you guys getting prepared, like mentally prepared for the child?
A lot of just sheer terror.
Yeah.
Just
to be expected.
Yep. lot of wondering what the hell she was thinking when she let me do this to her. Yeah, basic dad stuff, you know.
Yeah. Already trying to figure out how to keep boys away from her when she's older.
Yep, I've been cleaning my gun a lot. And that's the best plan I've got at the moment.
Well, you gotta clean your gun when they're over. That's what you do.
Oh, I suppose I could raise her with self-confidence and self-esteem so she doesn't feel like she needs to be validated by some young guy. And let her know that I'll love her regardless of whatever happens to her so she doesn't run off into the arms of some guy. But let's be honest, I'm not going to be that capable as a father. I fuck up everything
at least,
else in my life.
At least
why would my daughter be different?
At least expect to screw the first one up. That's why people have two.
Yeah, she'll be the first pancake.
Yeah.
God, I hope she doesn't find this podcast someday. And then if the movie that I'm making ends up being in shot in Grove City, that's going to be 3 hours from here. So I'll spend a day, maybe a day and a half, 3 hours from here when she's due like 3 weeks later. So, yeah, it's scary. 54 yeah. days. She's doing 54 days.
That is... The WWE Network launches before then. I'm sure that's something you care about.
I wish I could care about it. I don't have cable anymore.
You don't need cable, man. It's an internet service. Like Hulu
oh,
Plus.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
You're not going to get it. Don't act like you are.
It wouldn't be a bad deal. I've been reading stuff about it.
Yeah. Every pay-per-view. So you guys don't have to give me $20 for the pay-per-view when you come for WrestleMania, assuming you can make it to WrestleMania because your daughter's like due the week before.
WrestleMania's in March?
I mean, it's like late March, early April.
Hmm. Yeah.
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 Trista will be fine on her own.
Yeah, fuck. She'll be fine.
She's got to learn how to deal with the kid on her own sooner or later. Might
Jeez.
As well be that day.
Our father's really important.
Not so much.
Like, geez, she's not even going to remember any of that anyway. When do memories really stay with you?
Definitely not that young.
Exactly, exactly. So,
yeah.
should we get to the high five?
Why not? That's okay. What we're all here for, right?
I think so. Well,
people aren't here to listen to us jibber-jabber. I mean, they're not getting any entertainment out of this.
God, I hope nobody's getting entertainment out of this. That would be ridiculous for us to expect people to be entertained by this.
Yeah, just, I don't even know. I don't even know what we're doing anymore, man. The first episode was good. I like that one.
Yeah. I remember the first one.
Yeah, that was some solid programming right there.
That was weeks ago. The high five this week is best hate songs.
It's like a love song, but the opposite of that.
Yeah, it's the opposite of a love song.
So when you proposed this idea, you were like, let's do top five hate songs. I'm like, do you mean songs we hate or songs about hate? And then you correct me like, oh, it's songs about hate. I'm like, okay. We'll do it. I just explained the list to my fiance today, and she asked the exact same question. She's like, is it a song about hate or songs that you hate? I'm like, that's what I asked. And I thought that was sort of a coincidence and funny.
I feel like if I wanted to say songs that you hate, I would have phrased it that way instead of just best hate songs.
It's just clarifying, sir. It's okay. Don't get so wound up. Calm down. Put the knife away. Everything's okay. All right, let's go to... Let's see. You want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay, number five.
Number five is a song by Alkaline Trio called Good... I'm sorry, it's not actually by Alkaline Trio. It's by Matt Skiba. It's called Good Fucking Bye. I'm tired of being bored, through with the headaches, tied in my hands, tremble like earthquakes, under the table, under the daytime sky. Good fucking bye. love this song. It's just the way that it's a slow kind of a build. It's a really slow kind of sentimental sounding song. So if you heard the song without hearing the lyrics, you might think it was a love song, but it's not. It's got a lot of just insults and just bitterness, and that's what makes a really good hate song.
Alkaline Trio, bitter in a song?
Yep, it's true.
I don't buy it.
And this is old Alkaline Trio when, you know, Matt Skiba was, you know, an alcoholic and that kind of thing. Back when his hate really meant something.
Back when he was a real poet, unlike this shit they're throwing out now.
I love everything they've ever done. How dare you, sir?
I was just being hyperbolic.
But no, I mean, the hate that he used to have was really, a really great hate. And I don't know if you could feel it in the room. Oh, yeah. You could feel the hate in his teeth while he was singing. It's really good hate.
Oh, that's where he keeps his hate, huh?
I mean, it just seeps into every pore.
When he goes to the dentist and they ask him what he wants them to use to fill a cavity, he's like, hate.
He's like, don't even worry about it. I brought my own. So yeah, I love it. He doesn't give you like an example of why he hates her so much. He gives you examples of why he hates her, but he doesn't give an example of what she did. It's less about what happened and more about what happened to him, if that makes any sense. If not, that's fine too.
I think it makes sense. I'm following.
Yeah. So yeah. What's your number five?
My number five is the Angry Anthem. Well, it's not the Angry Anthem. I'm sorry. Let me start over.
So, Blake, what's your number five?
My number five is Angry Anthem by the Forces of Evil. Fuck all you motherfuckers. Fuck all you motherfuckers. Fuck you. Fuck all you motherfuckers. Fuck all you motherfuckers. Fuck all you motherfuckers. Fuck you.
Love that song. It's not too... I guess it is pretty often, especially if you're fans of the music we listen to, but the idea of a horn section playing a hate song is just a great idea.
It's because horns are very whimsical, usually, and they can be used in a somber fashion, obviously. Anyone who's listened to orchestral music knows this, but in a ska band... you never really hear a somber note come from the horn section.
Yeah, it's a major scale, not a minor scale.
Yeah. And what kind of sets this song apart from, I think, most of the songs we'll hear on this list tonight is it's I think most of the other songs will be sort of a jolted lover sort of thing, like someone gets cheated on or... a relationship has been destroyed, basically, and the songs are about, you know, expressing their feelings towards another person specifically.
The other songs are kind of built around an ex-relationship.
There you go. That's a very quick way of saying what it took me, what seemed like centuries. Angry Anthem is more just about a general hatred towards anything and everything. There's a whole lot of F-bombs in it, man. And as far as the song was by the Forces of Evil, and what's sad is that this song was from the only album I believe they ever released, sort of a side project of Aaron Barrett's. Funny story about the album, I was going to Bemidji State at the time, Bemidji State University up in Minnesota, and I was in the sort of punk section of the local FY. E store, I think it was
For
FYE.
Your entertainment.
Yeah. And I saw Forces of Evil album and it had a very cartoony cover. It's like cartoon pig, turtle,
bunny
rabbit, and one other animal. I don't know. But it looked like something I would enjoy, but I had never heard of the band before or who was in it. So I went home and I did like a research, and it turned out that the front man, Aaron Barrett, well, in the band he was called Aaron Evil, but Aaron Barrett, the lead singer of Real Big Fish, was the front man of this other band. So I immediately went back to the store, bought it, brought it home, and it's probably one of my favorite albums.
Aaron Barrett is not Aaron Evil. You can tell because Aaron Evil has long black hair, and I think he had like a goatee. So obviously they were different people.
All right.
You think
Let's
someone
just
would do that? Would just like pretend to have long hair and grow a goatee to be an evil version of themselves?
That sounds ridiculous, Eric. I can't believe I didn't catch on to this quicker. Anyway, what's your number four, dingus?
My number four is a song by the Mountain Goats that's called No Children.
And I hope the rising black smoke carries me far away, and I never come back to this town again. In my life, I hope I lie and tell everyone you were a good wife, and I hope you die. I hope we both die.
This is another really soft, sweet-sounding song, but it's got some of the most venomous lyrics you'll ever hear, and it's a hatred that's not only directed towards the other person, but it's a hatred that goes both ways because they hate the other person, obviously, but then it goes it it's such a powerful hatred that it feels like some of that bounces back and hits the songwriter, the singer. Basically, it's just like, you're stupid for being with me, I'm stupid for being with you, and everybody we know is stupid for believing in us. And I love that. I love this is like this relationship is so bad that everybody who knows us is stupid for liking it. That is a hatred I can get behind.
I haven't heard a lot of the Mountain Goats, but from what I have heard, I actually really like them. Sort of got the acoustic thing going. They're strictly an acoustic band, correct? Sort of,
Sort
maybe
of.
yes, maybe no.
Well, acoustic-ish, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
they play mostly acoustics, but I think the bassist plays an electric bass.
Well, it's an acoustic sound anyway. They
Yeah.
might not be legit acoustic band, but they at least have like, even when they're on stage, like an acoustic electric guitar, like,
Yeah.
yeah, that's what I mean. Not like unplugged or anything.
Yep, and the repeated chorus in the song is, I hope you die. I hope we both die. Like, I hate you so much that I want to die because of it. That is a powerful hatred,
And
sir.
that's pretty venomous right there, man.
I think so. That's my number four. What's your number four?
My number four is Love Me Dead by Ludo.
I remember you talking about this band on more than one occasion, but I don't remember what song it was that I was supposed to listen to.
Well, you did end up listening to Go Getter Greg, which is like, it goes, I'm a go getter guy with a gun on my hip. I'm just
Yes.
searching for somebody to be firing it. You know,
Yep.
it's a song about a really sleazy guy just trying to pick up chicks, basically.
Gotcha.
But that's not this song.
This is a different song.
This is a different song, and the listeners probably heard a few seconds of it already. If I know you and your mad editing skills, like I think I
Yes,
do.
my mad editing. Literally, I sit there angrily editing.
But this song is sort of, again, like my first one, different, but in a different way, where it's
Different
they
in a
see,
different way?
yeah, than the one I said before, but still different from all the other songs.
Gotcha.
Because from the lyrics, it sounds like they are still, maybe not in a relationship, but seeing each other, like seeing each other in the biblical sense, if you know what I mean.
Having sex?
Yes.
Like penis and vagina?
very much. But the lyrics really give you a sense that he cannot stand, the lead singer of Ludo can't stand this other person, but they're still sort of romantically linked. And, well, not even really romantically. They're just bumping uglies, basically. Because he still finds her attractive, which you can tell through the lyrics of the song. But beyond looks, he thinks that she is a disgusting human being. But they're still sort of in a physical relationship. Even towards the end of the song, he asks her about her new guy and does he know about me? So they're like, so she's apparently in another relationship, but they're still sort of doing their own little fling. I'm a big fan of Ludo, and anyone who doesn't know who Ludo is should at least give them a shot.
A shot. Shot to the heart, and you're to blame.
Yeah.
Blake, you give love a bad name.
I sure do, man. I give podcasting a bad name.
I don't think that's true. If I thought you would be terrible at this, I never would have asked you to do this with me.
I suppose. And perhaps if...
I think you're passable.
Yay! I can only get better.
I'll probably have to give that song a real listen. I'll probably give it a listen when I'm editing it.
The whole album is pretty solid. The title of the album, I believe, is You're Awful, I Love You, which I love that title of an album. Kind of even makes sense towards this song, which is Love Me Dead. But if you do find yourself listening to the album, I would suggest listening to the song Streetlights. It's much slower than this song. But it's probably one of my favorite songs of all time.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Wow.
All of it. All of the time. This is probably one of my favorite songs. All right. Moving on to number three.
Number three. It's my radio voice. You like it?
Yeah.
Number three.
If I say yes, can we move on?
Number three.
I like it.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Anytime.
So my number three is called Your Guts, I Hate Them.
I wrote this song about you. I wrote this song about you. Just to let you know that I hate your guts and I think you suck.
It's by Real Big Fish, who you may remember as the lead, has the same lead singer as Forces of Evil, Blake's number five pick.
No, I thought we discussed this, and it was a different person altogether, because Aaron Evil has long black hair with a goatee, whereas Aaron Barrett has slick black hair and is clean shaven.
Blake, don't be stupid. They're the same guy. Jesus Uh-oh. Christ.
I heard from a reliable source that they were separate people.
You got lied to. You got played.
I'm pretty gullible.
Stupid ass.
Anyway, this song.
Yes, this song is about, well, I think just Aaron Barrett is just a really hateful guy. Because this song, in the song, he says, I wrote this song just to let you know that I hate your guts and I think you suck. And writing a purely spiteful, hateful song is really about as hateful as you can get. There's nothing.
Pretty much.
It's like, I hate you so much, I'm going to create art about my hate for you.
I'm going to take my time out of my day just to think of rhymes that properly describe how much I do not care for you as a person.
And not only am I going to write this song, I'm going to learn it, I'm going to memorize it, I'm going to teach it to the other members of my band. We are going to go into a studio and pay money to have this put on to a format where we can sell it to other people. So everyone who's ever heard, whoever hears this song will know how much I hate you, which is a great way to get back at somebody for screwing you over.
Aaron Barrett seems to write a lot of songs like that, though.
It's true. He's good at it, though.
Sometimes I wonder if he actually writes these songs to specific people or just found his niche in songwriting and just kind of stuck with it.
I like to imagine each one's about somebody different.
Or just the same person, and then that would be sad.
Yeah, if that were the case, that would be maybe the saddest story ever.
Like, Aaron Barrett, just get over it, man.
Jesus, man, life is okay. There are other people you can devote your time to.
Well, pretty much almost every member of Real Big Fish has left, like the original members.
It's true.
And other members have been rotated out. So maybe every hate song he has is just about that member of the band that left.
It could be.
He's like, well, I'm going to leave and start a family. Don't you leave, you motherfucker. Do not bail on me.
That's true. Every single member of the band has been replaced except for him.
What about Scott Klopfenstein?
He hasn't been in the band for years.
Really?
Really. He wasn't on the last album.
Oh, I guess now that you think about it, I did not hear him. Well, what's he been doing? I'm concerned for his safety now. Like, where is he?
He's actually been tied up in Aaron Barrett's basement this whole time.
Oh, son of a bitch. Let's go get him.
Being forced to play the trumpet on Aaron's solo projects. And
if we don't save Scott Klopfenstein, who will be left to mispronounce his name?
We'd still be here mispronouncing his name.
Yeah, but who are we, sir? Who are we?
Our name is on the podcast. You should know this one. Come on, Blake. I believe in you. Who are we?
Well, I'm Blake. You just said it.
Come on.
All right, you have anything else to say about Real Big Fish?
Other than the fact that they're awesome? No.
Yeah, other than that. No?
No, I just love them.
Okay.
So you're number three.
So my number three is from a band I haven't really heard a lot from, but it's Hate, I Really Don't Like You by the Plain White Tees.
Yes, that sounds like a very good hate song, with the title alone.
I don't know. It's one of those songs that, not like the Alkaline Trio song you spoke of that sounds like a love song, but when you dig into the lyrics, you know, you see it's not a love song. It's a hate song. It's more of sort Hate, I Really Don't Like You, sort of more of an upbeat sort of pop song, but with real good lyrics. So the song kind of starts out with the words love, 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 love. Kind of sets you up.
That doesn't sound like a hate song.
It doesn't, but then it goes horribly wrong. Opening verse is, you were everything I wanted. You were everything a girl could be. Then you left me brokenhearted. Now you don't mean a thing to me.
Wow, that's a switch. That's a 180.
Yeah, kind of just goes at her, man. Right.
Yeah, like meaning nothing to somebody is almost worse than hating them because, you know, it's like they say, would you rather be hated or ignored? Or what's the phrase? Nothing. When somebody means nothing to you, that is worse than being hated by them.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Of course, he is writing the song, so she obviously means something.
Yeah. And the chorus goes, hate is a strong word, but I really, really, really don't like you. And see, I don't know if this technically counts as a hate song because he says that, well, I guess he doesn't say he doesn't hate her, but he won't use the word hate. He just really, really, really does not like her.
Hate is a strong word. And maybe we've been too liberal with the word. Maybe we should save it for more important uses, but it's too late. I already wrote the name of the episode and everything.
Yeah, that's true. And, like, the chorus goes on, now that it's over, I don't even know what I liked about you. Song kind of comes off as a little, you know, a smidge spiteful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're in high school and you don't really have any feelings whatsoever for like a girl, but then you find out that she likes you, and so you immediately start liking her. It's like that, but the opposite, you see.
Or a boy.
Or a boy, I guess, if that's your thing.
I'm pretty sure that boys liking girls isn't the only way things work. But yeah, I remember that song, and it's true. And the fact that he's like, he seems so careful about using the word hate, but also brings it up. He's like, listen, I don't use the word hate because it's a really strong word. But I really, really, really don't like you.
It's like, I won't use the word hate, but goddamn it, I'll get up as close as I possibly can to it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that pick. It's a good
Thanks,
number three.
Man.
It's a good strong
Thank you,
three.
Sir.
So shall we move on to number two?
I think we should.
All right. Well, let me go to my number two then. And this is maybe one of the first songs that anybody outside like our specific genre of music might get. It's by Alanis Morissette, the song that launched her into stardom. It's You Oughta Know. You remember that song, don't you?
Who doesn't remember that song? How does it go again?
And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you gave to me. You oughta know. That's how it goes.
What? Wasn't this the song that was rumored to be about Dave Coulier?
Yes, it still might be. I mean, I don't think it's been confirmed or denied either way. But yeah, so imagine that. Alanis Morissette going down on Dave Coulier in a theater.
Don't imagine that.
Imagine
oh,
it.
God, don't.
Like
Cut it out.
There. You son of a bitch, you. Cut it out.
Ridiculous. Imagine that's what he would have said to her if they got caught. Like you tap her on the head to let her know to stop, but she just thought he meant to do it harder or whatever. And he goes, seriously, cut it out.
I love that. I love the scenario you're making now. Before
I
that
think
song,
that might, that must remember. Be one of the most famous I Hate You songs in recent, at least from the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, hate songs in general aren't ones that generally get a lot of play.
Yeah.
I mean, there are like, some, but, I mean, I think Limp Bizkit had a career out of it, but, you know, it's not...
Well, definitely, it's definitely not a genre, not a type of song you hear in the genre that You Oughta Know came out of, you know? Because...
I don't know, like, alternative can be so many things.
You'd say that it was alternative? I'd say it was straight up popular music in the day.
Well, yeah, alternative was very popular.
Yeah.
As a genre of music.
Maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me sort of looking back sort of... I always just thought of it as sort of pop music. Like,
yeah.
Not really alternative rock or anything. So, like, as far as pop music goes, because it got a lot of play back, obviously, when it was popular. But, because there's a lot of hate songs sort of in the harder rock genres. Like you said, there are bands that pretty much only, you know, write hate music. Kind of like Real Big Fish does, I guess. And definitely for the time... You know, I could definitely be wrong here, but it was unusual to hear a song come from a young female artist about how she hated somebody.
That's what I was going to say, is the fact that she was a woman that was writing this hate song. Like, you could...
I'm sorry I stole your thunder, man.
No, it's cool. It's just that, yeah, it's exactly it. Like, you could see guys getting away with this kind of a thing, like the girl that broke your heart, but you really never heard... Like, I still can't think of many other women... that have sung a song about how much they hate somebody. It's not generally... the only songs that they really can get away with are the ex-lover type of hate songs. I guess Carrie Underwood had that one recently that was about a cheating guy and stuff.
Taylor Swift's kind of making a career out of it.
Yep. So, I mean... But it's not something that's generally been accepted before that I think of.
I'm sure examples exist, but I don't think they ever got as popular as Alanis Morissette's did.
Yeah, and the fact that it was an alternative song where she could really, you know, get at the anger, that was also something that generally women couldn't do before that.
And use lewd imagery like the going down in the movie theater.
Exactly. So a lot of glass ceiling being broken with that song.
I had a crush on her back in the day.
I still have a crush on her.
She got like when she cut her hair, it sort of showed her. It did it for me. I'm gonna say it. Like when it was like when she was at the height of her popularity, when it was like super long, like that. That really didn't do much, but then she cut it short, and I was like, oh, man, she is a pretty lady.
She's still a pretty lady. Yeah. So if she listens to this podcast, I might get in trouble with my wife.
If she listens to this podcast, sorry, we're taken.
Sorry, Alanis.
You had your shot.
You had your shot in the early 90s when I was 14. I wasn't 14 in the early 90s. That's ridiculous.
I don't even know how old I was in the early 90s. Probably like 8.
Yeah, you were 8 in the early 90s because you were born in 1984, buddy.
Yep, I was 8 and I was wearing my Ninja Turtle shirt.
That's so silly.
I'm wearing a Ninja Turtle shirt right now.
Oh, my God.
All right, moving on.
Yes, moving on to your number 2.
My number 2. Hey, remember when we were talking about Real Big Fish?
I do remember talking about Real Big Fish. Why do you say that?
And how Real Big Fish has a lot of songs about hating somebody?
I do. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. Well, my number 2 song, get this, is by Real Big Fish.
What?
Yes. It's true.
They made your list too?
They did. We could have just had a top 5 list of favorite hate songs by Real Big Fish and we could do a top 10, both of us, with different songs on each list.
Yep.
We'd
draft them off. We'd be like, okay, with my number 1 pick, I'm picking this song. And you'd be like, no, that was what I was going to pick. I have to go down to my number 2 pick.
So all right.
What is your number 2 pick?
My number 2 pick by Real Big Fish is P.S. I Hate You.
Chin witch, I wasted my time with. P.S. I Hate You. I'm finally leaving you today. P.S. I Hate You. And if you think I'll ever come back. P.S. I Hate You. I've got just one more thing to say. P.S. I Hate You.
Excellent choice, sir. That's one of their more recent ones.
It was, apparently, without Scott Klopfenstein. I'm still reeling from that announcement, quite frankly.
You're reeling?
I didn't even... No pun intended, man.
Are you reeling, Big Fish?
All right, calm down.
It's a pun. You get it?
I got it. I made a pun. You made a pun.
And the audience died a little inside. So why did this one make your number 2?
It's a really catchy song, man. I don't know.
All right, well, moving on, I guess. That's all Blake's got to say about his number 2 pick.
The whole point of the song, P.S. I Hate You, is it's sort of written kind of... It's like he's writing a letter to somebody, and he's kind of breaking a rule by saying P.S. I Hate You, because P.S. is postscript, I believe, which is just something that you forgot to mention in the letter that you want to get to.
Correct.
But if you're writing a song, writing a letter about how much you hate somebody, how do you forget to tell them that you hate them? And you kind of already did, just not literally come out and say that you hate them.
Yeah, when the title is a PS, that doesn't seem like it should work correctly. That's not MLA standard.
Maybe PS is prescript.
Could be. Or just, what's another P word?
Piano script?
Yeah, let's go with that. It's piano script.
You know, I could say the chorus, but they probably heard the chorus already, so I feel like that would be unnecessary. But yeah, it's just another example of, you know, one of those songs where some lady did something to Aaron Barrett that pissed him off, so...
I like that you assume it's always a lady that he's pissed at.
Do you think Aaron Barrett's gay?
No, but I believe he gets mad at guys.
I guess. Hold on. Let me read some of these lyrics and see if your theory fits. Dear wicked witch I wasted my time with, I'm finally leaving you today, and if you think I'll ever come back, I've got just one more thing to say. Like, yeah, that could be a dude. Because dudes are called witches, right?
Yeah, that could mean anything, man.
Don't want to read too much.
There's really nothing going on in there that makes me lean one way or the other. But yeah, there are definitely a lot of Real Big Fish songs that didn't make the list that really easily could have.
I almost put Where Have You Been on it. Yeah, but I didn't really think there was a lot of hate in it. Not till the very end. Because most of the song, you know, tells a story that, you know, his ex-girlfriend comes however long later. And it's like, hey, we should get back together. And he's like, or not only does she say, let's get back together, she says, hey, I love you. I've always loved you. Let's get back together. And he's like, well, if you've loved me this whole time, where have you been?
Yeah, it's more of a sad song than a hate song.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that same anger that Aaron Barrett gives his hate songs.
Yeah, and then at the end, he was just like, you know what? No, I don't care. I'm over it. You can go away.
Yes.
Those aren't the actual lyrics. That's me paraphrasing.
Yep. Yeah, the mixture of the ska, upbeat tempo and stuff with the bitter, spiteful, angry lyrics is always a good choice to make.
Yes, very much so. All right. I can stop stumbling over lyrics now and my thoughts, and we can go back to you, and you can tell the people, because the people want to know what your number one most hate-filled song is,
I guess. People want to know, huh?
They want to know. Just like Alanis Morissette's ex-boyfriend ought to know. They want to know.
Nice callback.
I brought it back, motherfuckers.
All right, well... My number one pick is probably the most famous hate song ever. It's a song by Bob Dylan called Like a Rolling Stone. How does it feel? How does it feel to be without a home? Like a complete unknown. I mean, it's actually one of the most popular songs of all time.
Yes. See, now, I didn't actually know that this was a hate song, quite frankly. I mean, weird. I couldn't understand the lyrics in a Bob Dylan song, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it starts out with the lyrics...
See, now that you say it, I hear it. I can hear it now.
But no, it's all about this person... it's a girl. He calls her doll and girl and stuff. So it's about a girl that used to be the shit. She was like, you know, the prom queen, that kind of thing.
That's what he called her. Like, man, you the shit.
You know, here, let me read some of the lyrics so that once upon a time you dressed so fine, you threw the bums a dime in your prime, didn't you? And then later it's... you go to the finest school, all right, Miss Lonely, but you know you only used to get juiced in it. And, let's see. You never turned around to see the frowns on the jugglers and the clowns when they all did tricks for you. So it's basically the person who had the world... The world was their oyster before this this stumble that she's taken. And then it's so great that He like sets her up as this thing, and then he's like, but that's in the past. That's how it used to be, you know? And then the chorus comes in and it says, how does it feel to be on your own with no direction home? A complete unknown like a rolling stone. And it's just like, oh, I mean, they made a magazine about it. Another hugely famous rock band named their band after this song.
Which one was that? The Unknowns?
No, the Like a Rollings. No, oh. It was the Rolling Stones, stupid ass.
Oh, okay.
Your sarcasm goes right over this head, and I think you're an idiot. But no, I mean, it's like, so obviously, this is one of the biggest songs of all time. Rolling Stone named it the best song ever, which they would because they named the magazine after it. So, I don't know how much.
Would it really be the same people working for the magazine? No. Or when did that list come out?
The list came out recently, but, you know.
Oh.
But it's one of those things where it's like, well, if they picked a different song, would they have to change the name of the magazine? And then there's an album that came out when he was doing live shows in Europe, and it's called the Judas version of Like a Rolling Stone, because it was after Dylan came out as Electric when this got released, and the folk community just hated him because he went electric, like some pop group. Yeah, can you imagine people nowadays calling Bob Dylan a pop sensation?
Like, I can.
He's like, yeah, he's just gone pop. Like, you know, these Brits. And he's in England, I believe, and right before they start playing the song, they go, Judas! Like, you know, he's a traitor, he's turned on him. And so he turns to the microphone and goes, I don't believe you. You're a liar. And then he turns around to his band, and as they're starting in the music, you can hear him say,
you're a liar.
Play it fucking loud. And so then he goes into the song. Oh, it's so good. If you haven't heard that recording, you've got to listen to it.
I do have to listen to that. That's awesome.
It's so good. You hear him turn and just go, play it fucking loud. So not only is it about this person that he used to know that was great that he hates, but now it's about the folk scene that he used to love that he hates now. So now it's not just this one person. Now it's an entire group of people. Now it can be even the government. It could be the pop groups. It could be anybody. Oh, I love Bob Dylan. And that's my number one, all time.
All right.
I'm not going to drop the microphone because I'm borrowing it, but...
Yeah, don't break that thing. You'll owe that person a new microphone, and the reason you're borrowing one is because you can't afford one. So then you would just have to buy a new microphone that you couldn't even keep.
Yep, I'd have to buy two microphones to be at the same place that I'm at right now.
Because they probably won't let you borrow that one after you broke the one.
Exactly. So now, Blake... Now that I've given you my number one, what do you have to compete with your number one?
My number one song is Radio by Alkaline Trio.
Shaking like a dog shitting razor blades.
But?
There's a little caveat to that. It's not the original recording of Radio, but it is a recording they did a few years ago. Straight up acoustic. Yes, with acoustic guitars and whatnot.
This is the one that they did on the acoustic album?
Yes, sir.
Damnesia.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds right.
Yes. Great album. Great. Why do you prefer that version?
Like you were saying before about, I believe it was when you were talking about Alkaline Trio, it's sort of like a slower, more melodic song. The music doesn't sound so vengeful or spiteful or angry. I think that's what, and because of that, the lyrics kind of sort of have an added bite to it, like an extra edge.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the same here. Like they took the opening of the electric version of Radio is still very kind of beautiful in sort of a simplistic sort of way. It doesn't sound angry at all. So it still has that in the original version, but I think it's just magnified in the acoustic.
Yeah, there's something to be said for when, I mean, when you're really angry and you're yelling and screaming, that's the anger part of hate. But when you can sit down and be calm and peaceful and even write a beautiful song about hatred, that's almost a scarier type of hatred.
But the best thing of this, best part of this song is it has like both, it has both versions of that. It has sort of the quiet, sort of rage, the contained anger when you're just sitting next to somebody and you're having a conversation with them and you're like, listen, what you did is bullshit and I will not take it. And like, you're very calm, like you're angry, but you're calm about it. And then later in the song, he just loses his shit and starts to yell. Cool thing is, it's the same verse. Like, he does the opening verse quiet, and he does that same verse later, like word for word, but he yells it, and it's completely different, but at the same time, it's the same, clearly.
Yep.
And the song starts out, which is sort of, I'd say, the most descriptive and maybe visually jarring lyric that I can recall in any song. It's shaking like a dog shitting razor blades. That's, I think, the first time I heard that song, I was like, what the fuck did he just say?
I played this song on guitar, and I remember playing it once for somebody who didn't know the song at all. And so I was playing this really pretty guitar part, and then I started singing, shaking like a dog shitting razor blades, and they both busted out laughing. And like, to me, I don't know why they started laughing until I was like, oh, I just sang those words. Now I get it.
Yeah. And if you didn't know, it was a hate song after that. The verse goes on, waking up next to nothing after dreaming of you and me. I'm waking up all alone, waking up so relieved. So it's obviously, the song paints a picture of, you know, because it kind of throws a zigzag at you, because it sounds after the shitting razor blades part, obviously. Forget that part. But then it's waking up next to nothing after dreaming of you and me. So it's like, oh, he's dreaming of being with somebody. Like, that's sweet. That's touching. And then it's like, and then it's waking up all alone, waking up relieved. So you're like, oh, shit, he's happy he's alone. Like, then later there's the lines like, I've got a big fat fucking bone to pick with you, my darling.
Yep.
In case you haven't heard, I'm sick and tired of trying. I wish you would take my radio to bathe with you, plugged in and ready to fall. So he's, you know, just telling this girl or guy, Eric.
Yep.
That he hates this person so much that they should just go kill themselves, which is a very kind of cliche thing to say, but when you sort of have a murder plot planned out like he does, it kind of makes it seem that much more powerful.
Yeah, this is the song that easily could have been my number one, too. I debated whether or not I should put it in, and I wouldn't have put it number one, so I'm glad that you did. So it still gets a number one spot, even though I didn't put it on my list.
Like, I think out of all of the songs we talked about, this one just sort of jam-packs as much hate into it as it can. You know, there's not many lyrics that aren't just descriptors of how much he hates this person.
Yep. It's got the, and like you said, it's got both the angry, violent hatred and the soft, sweet, I'm sure of the, like a self-assured kind of hatred. And it hits on all cylinders, and it's just a great song. If you haven't heard it, do yourself a favor and think of somebody you hate and listen to this song.
Yeah, much like most of the songs I talked about, I probably didn't do them justice because, let's face it, I don't talk so good. But just forget that and check out all the songs on my list and on Eric's list because they're all quality, especially if you're angry at somebody.
It's true. And
we wouldn't steer you wrong.
Here's the thing about hate songs that I really like. That I don't feel like a lot of people get. If you listen to a love song, everybody's okay with that. Nobody's really going to give you a hard time for it. But if you want to express the opposite emotion, the one that gives balance to all the happiness, then people kind of are like, they might look at you a little funny. But one can't exist without the other. There can be no light without dark. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yes.
I feel like and getting your song out, getting your hatred out by screaming along with a song that's freaking awesome is the best way to do it, I think. Because I don't
You're
want
not
you,
alone there, sir.
I don't want you hurting other people. So screaming at the top of your lungs along with one of these great songs is a great idea. Do you agree?
I agree, yeah.
I stopped listening at number four, dude.
No. I agree, Eric. Don't go out and hurt people.
Well, I wanted you to say that because...
I worry about you.
I know you're filled with rage sometimes. And so much anger.
All right, so folks listening at home or at the gym or in the car or on a plane or wherever you are listening to this, if there are people listening to this.
Or at work. Get back to work.
Or, yeah. Quick, before your boss comes over.
She's standing right there and she is watching. Do you want her to know that you're listening to two idiots talk about songs they like?
Don't scare the people, Eric. All right, that's our top five list for favorite hate songs. If you have a favorite or a few, feel free to tweet them at us, email them to us. We actually do care to know and to get feedback. If you want to tell us just how awful we are at podcasting, let us know too, because we kind of live in our own little bubble here. I think I'm great. Eric thinks he's okay.
I think you're great, Blake.
Thanks, man.
So we got 100% agreement on that.
Yes. Oh, Eric, you want to tell the folks how they can get a hold of us?
Sure. You can tweet us on Twitter, via Twitter. Sorry. Via Twitter, at High Five Podcast. You can send us an email at high_fives@outlook.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/highfives. And you could also go to our website, which is highfives.podbean.com. Also, if you don't like to download this show, maybe you're just like, I wish you could just stream this. Well, you're in luck, buddy, because we're on Stitcher. So you can get a hold of us on there.
We are mainstream. Can't get a hold of us there, but you can listen.
You can listen on Stitcher, which is an awesome idea.
Yeah, and... You know, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't yet, and you probably should, because if you have a vague appreciation for what we're doing right now, and you're like, I'll give them another shot, I'll keep listening to them in the background, we're just bound to get better. Like, eventually, we're going to be, it's just mathematics, we will be funny. It just, with practice, makes slightly better over time. Just give us another chance is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, one more thing. If you wanted to give us a high five to tell us we're doing a good job, you can do that by giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes or leave us a review. We would love to hear it. For real.
Yeah, if you have critiques, like if you say Blake says and okay and sir too much. He keeps calling Eric sir. That's weird. He should stop that. Feel free to tell us. I'll take it into consideration.
Yeah, people are going to be like, is Blake Eric's butler? Is he butling this whole time?
I am Alfred to your Batman.
Oh, I like that. So where is your fiance tonight?
She's working.
Where is she? Thank you.
That was good. I didn't even expect it.
And that's weird because you usually know where my jokes are coming from a mile
away. Yeah, and which is really weird is because I was just thinking of that when you first did the Bale impression like 2 seconds ago.
All right. Well, until next week, I'm Eric.
And as always, I'm Blake. And we're reminding you that the next time someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
High five! High five to all the guys! High five to all the guys! High five to all the guys! Frost to the homies in the field! When your best friend finally got the
Ooh, can I try an ending?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and... All right, hold on.
Holding on.
Hold on. All right, and as always, I'm Blake.
And I'm Eric.
Oh, shoot, I forgot what I was going to say.
That was a failure.
Yeah, it was. Hold on. All right, and as always, I'm Blake.
And I'm Eric.
Son of a bitch, I forgot again.
This is ridiculous.
Yep. Okay, I think I got it.